Paskin's Hilchasa. Let's say two lines after it gets wider on Daf Zayin. Hilchasa mutar levol betchila b'Shabbos. So the Pesach Halacha, Shui, you want to get a chair? The Pesach Halacha is that it's mutar. You go into one of the other rooms and anyone get a chair. Also, God, we get a chair. The Halacha is that it's mutar to have the Rishona on Shabbos. Okay? Now, based on that, the Gemara then introduces Amar Bchelbo, Amar Fun, Amar Rabba, Achas Besula, Achas Amana, Tuna Bracha. There's something called Birchas Chasanim, which in Mitzvah Shem we'll try to take a look at a little bit tomorrow, maybe a little bit Sunday. We'll finish up the Shiur on Sunday, probably what it looks right now. And the Gemara discusses the various permutations of Bracha, vis-a-vis, or alongside, or in contrast to the permutations of Simcha. We talked about Simcha, Shaktu, and Sheva Brachos, and 7 days, and Chachamim really wanted a 7-day celebration, Shaktu Chachamim. And now the Gemara says that if it's an Almana, then the Simcha is only 3 days. So the Gemara is talking about the Chi of Simcha, which we've seen already, based on that brisa of the person whose parents died, and they pre-scheduled the Shiva Simei HaMishteh to the Avelus. So now we're broadening, we're not just talking about Simcha, we're talking about Bracha. The Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Beis talks about Birchas Chasanim, the bracha you make, what we call Shever Brachos. I decided to skip a little because the Nusach of Shever Brachos and the Lachas of Shever Brachos come about on Daf Ches. So we'll get to them Mirtashim later. I want you to have an easy, straightforward sugya to sink your teeth into on some Gedalia because I know everyone was tired. So we're now looking on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. While the Gemara is discussing, as we can get it here, while the Gemara is discussing Birchas Chasanim, the Gemara says also there's something called Birchas Erisin, Tana Rabbanan. So now we're on the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan, not the bottom, but about 3/4 of the way down. Mivarachim Birchas Chasanim Beis Chasanim. You remember after Beis Erisin, they had Shever Brachos after they got engaged, because in Yehuda, they were in the area of Yehuda, which was the southern kingdom, they would have a minhag to have Yichud, just to have the husband and wife get to know each other a little bit more. Since there was Yichud, there may have been Bia. Since there was Bia, there may have been Chuppah. So therefore, they made Birchas Chasanim. Please get a chair, Yaakov. They made Birchas Chasanim even during Erisin. Then the Gemara says, or Birchas Erisin to Beis Erisin. That's the line we need to know. As opposed to Birchas Chasanim, which we're going to talk about tomorrow and Sunday, today we're going to focus on Birchas Erisin. So clear your head from Birchas Chasanim. We're talking about Birchas Erisin. So the Gemara says, my Birchas Erisin, my Mivarach. So Ravin bar Rav Ada, Rav bar Rav Ada, Tervamish made Rav Yehuda Amri. Notice, just out of interest, it's a very, very late source. There are no Tanoim here, there are no Brises. Normally, what would you expect? Kidatanya. Damish made Rav Akiva. You'd expect there to be some record of Birchas Erisin from an earlier stage. This may factor into some of the lambdas, but just have a sense of awareness. These are third-generation Amorayim who are quoting the Birchas Erisin. It doesn't mean it didn't exist beforehand, necessarily. It just means that they didn't have a Masorah from anyone. It's just interesting. Mishmeidri of Yehuda, Ami Baruch HaShem, as we know, Sher Kiddushan, Sassus HaNarayos, Aslan Sarusas, Nassim Sazan, Yechob of Kiddushan. Okay, so this is the Nusach of the Birchas Erisin. The Rambam takes the simple Shita. Normally, what are the Brachas? Just generally, what are the general three categories of brachas. Obviously, lambdas, you can wag your fingers this way, wag your fingers that way. But general, what are the three categories of brachas? Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaNenin, very good. And Birchas HaShevach. General. Now, what is Birchas HaNenin? What's the relation to Birchas HaShevach? But we have to map the world of brachas. And of course, just to make sure everyone has the basics in tow, all the brachas are derabanan except for two. What are the two brachas that are deraisa? Birchas Hamazon, based on the pasuk of or as my Rebbe Rav Tavori Zechron of the Bracha used to say, you can always tell if someone knows diktuk by the way they bench. What's the Rebbe? V'achalta, v'savata, uverachta. Because the end is forward, it's future. Savata is after your savaya. So, you know, a good Baal Kriya during Devarim, most of the words have the dagesh on the end of the word. You will have v'yashavta, v'yirashta. So when I was a rabbi in camp a long, long time ago, I was very makbid on the Baal Kriya, who didn't really know and thought he was saying the words properly. But sometimes a change in dikduk, or where you put the dagesh, can change the meaning. If you say v'yirashta, it means you have inherited. V'yirashta, it means you will inherit. So it can really make a big difference. So you shouldn't be so makbid on things that don't change the meaning, but things that change the meaning, even if it's just Shvana or Shvanach, or not Shvanas most of the time, but certainly where you put the Mil El and Mil Ra. So V'yachalta, V'savata, V'yachta, Hashem Melokecha, Al Eretz HaTavah She'en Asalach. Okay? And the other bracha that's there, I says, Rasatara, Lifoneha, Ki, Shema Shema Kraha, Bugoda, Lalokain. Okay, those are the two brachas that are there, I say. We paskin that it is. Gemara quotes Sahavim in it, it is, and it's there, I say, according to the Gemara. Now, which means, by the way, just Derech Agav, a lot of young boys who, Baruch Hashem, are very frum, and now's a good chance for, take a few steps back, because I always want to make sure I'm helping you grow in yeshiva healthily. I got a call from an Israeli Talmud, like about a half a year ago. He said, Rabbi Targi, you may remember me, I looked at yeshiva like 15 years ago, whatever. He said, you saved my life. How did I save your life? He says, I was suffering very, very serious OCD. And you assured me that it's perfectly natural for someone my age and that there are ways around it, and you talked about it. So I want to put it on the table. OCD is a general syndrome that people suffer with. And when you're a firm person, you're very dutiful, because that's at the core of OCD, you feel like you want to perform your duties, it can exacerbate it. So first of all, don't freak out if you have some OCD tendencies, such as general tendencies, checking things several times, washing your hands several times, feeling forced to do certain things that you'd rather not, but you feel like you have to just to make sure. It's perfectly natural. If you're having an issue, speak to me about it or speak to someone about it. In general, it's easy. I'll tell you my OCD moment, okay? I was, maybe 12 years old or 11 years old, and I decided I was going to be a good basketball player, and the rumors are that it may have worked. And as they went out to my neighbor's backyard, and I said, I'm not leaving till I hit 100 straight foul shots. No way. Jordan can't hit 100 straight foul shots. And I was there for hours and hours and hours and hours. I got up, whatever I got up to, but I couldn't hit 100. And at a certain point, like the sun set, and I just collapsed on the floor, and I started crying, like, I have to hit 100 foul shots. What am I going to do? And my father said, why are you crying? I said, because I told myself I'm going to hit 100 foul shots. And a kid says, oh, you don't have to. I said, okay. And I walked away. So that was my break your OCD moment. So every time I feel like an OCD, okay, enough to do it. But psychology is much more intricate than that, much more complex. So if anyone is having issues, it's perfectly natural. Don't freak out. I would say percentage-wise, probably if you take a serious group of about 25 boys in this room, they all want to perform their duties and are serious. So probably most of us have those tendencies. And in some cases, maybe 10%, the tendencies become a little excessive. And like I said, you can speak with me about it. You can speak with Rabbi Aminadav about it. Don't freak out about it. Anyway, how did I get to this? What? Right, right. So he called me and he thanked me. He said, thank you so much for just giving me the calm and the peace of mind that it's not something I was really suffering with. And I think he even spoke with him about it. And I remember a long time ago, an American boy who was in a different high school, he came over to me and he was really, really suffering in high school. He went to high school where they really rammed guilt into him, like again and again, you're going to burn in Gehenna, you're going to burn in Gehenna, guilt, 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 like just, and he spent like the entire 11th grade in the hospital bed. Like he said, I was so crippled by this offensive, aggressive, you're terrible, you're going to die, you do this. He said, and I worked with him all Chodesh Elul to try to climb out of that feeling of guilt. And he came to me, remember, like right now, right around now, 2 days before Yom Kippur, he said, Rebbe, it's Erev Yom Kippur, and you've told me not to feel guilt, and now, but I want to feel guilt. I remember telling him, I said, I ban you from thinking about any guilt over Yom Kippur. Like, so you're not allowed to think about any guilt. He says, what should I think about? I said, think about Avas Hashem, like whatever. Because I just felt like his neshama was going to die. He just put another dose of guilt into his neshama, is going to fall apart. Baruch Hashem today is very successful. So these are things that if you nip them in the bud, they can be dealt with. So don't worry about it. Don't be ashamed. You have it. I have it. These are all natural tendencies. Like I said, speak to me about it. I can keep confidentiality. Speak to Rabbi Nadav about it. They're relatively easy to nip in the bud. Don't freak out about it. Okay? Anyway, now we got to that whole conversation, but let's get back to Birchas Hatara. Right. So if you have a suffix brachos, the halacha is dutiful people have a tendency to say, I have a suffix, whether I made the bracha, let me repeat it just to be safe. But with a suffix brachos, you should not repeat your brachos. A, because we paskin suffix d'rabbanan l'kula, except for benching a Birchas Hatara. And second of all, since you paskin suffix d'rabbanan l'kula, then we paskin suffix d'raisa l'chumra, you're being maskir shem Hashem shemayim levatala. So you don't want to be over that isser. So even though you may have a tendency, I want to say the bracha a second time and a third time, listen to me saying, you are not allowed to. I'm telling you, you're not allowed to repeat the bracha because you're being over an issa. So at least that would be one way for you to get out of that little OCD trap. Don't repeat things. Don't say Kriya Shema. Again, with Shmon Esrei, did I say it? Did I not say it? I know you're all thinking that. Did I say a Melech HaKadosh? Did I not? Try to think about what your feeling was when you said it. Like if you had a calm heart and you know, like, you know when you miss it, like you realize something, it's like that moment of jolt, you realize something. If you had the jolt, go back. If you didn't have the jolt, unless you were sleeping and, you know, thinking about the game last night, but I'm assuming you were paying reasonable attention to davening, if when you said it, you more or less felt good. You didn't feel any, like in the first 3 seconds, because your mind will always play tricks on you. 5 minutes later, they always say, did I, didn't I, don't go back. Okay, unless you really, really, you know, have this sense. Yes?
What would be the issue with
Kriya Shema? Isn't that just second? No, there's not, right, I'm just saying there, just because it's unhealthy OCD tendencies. Huh? Right. I've seen my share of Kriya Shema Zagras, I say 15 times and 20 times, and just like all these things, obsessions are addictive, and you just fall into this very, very dark place where you're just running around, washing your hands 15 times, closing doors 20 times, you know, checking, and it saps your energy. So if you have it, A, the good news is don't worry about it, but try to address it as quickly as possible. Anyway, let's get back to our regularly scheduled shiur. Okay, so the Rambam says, here's a bracha. So the Rambam fits it into the classic category of a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah l'kadosh isha, ki ikach ish isha. The Rambam says, in the beginning, hachas ishos, nikuchan eilu mitzvah hein. So the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah. It's a berachas a mitzvah. And since it's a berachas a mitzvah, the Rambam paskins, what's the offshoot of that? Since it's a berachas a mitzvah, what? Over l'siyasan, like all berachas a mitzvahs. And an offshoot that you may have seen, may not have seen in the Pisrei Tshuva, which I put on the WhatsApp, okay, that you should only say it if the chassan is a bar chiyuva. If, let's say, the chassan is not a bar chiyuva, even though we let him get married, like an androgynous who may not be chayiv in the mitzvah because he may be an isha, so he may not be allowed to get married. But assuming, according to the Shita, he's allowed to get married, since he's not chayiv in a mitzvah, or a cheresh, who's patim in a mitzvah, so even if we conduct weddings with people who aren't b'nei chiyuva, which is almost impossible to conceive, like who would not be a b'nei chayuva, but there are certain people who wouldn't be a b'nei chayuva in mitzvos, who are still allowed, assume it's chayiv in mitzvos, but a cheresh, ein v'dabe, ein shamea, or an androgynous, maybe not be chayiv in this mitzvah. So according to the Rambam, you shouldn't recite the bracha. Right? One of my greatest moments of good fortune, when I applied to the Kol Elyon in Yeshiva University, so there you had to like take a test in front of a Schechter and in front of, I forget who, but like whoever, I forget who it was those days, it was like really, really like the top Rosh Yeshiva, they could ask you anything, and like you just said, come be prepared. And I was getting married, and I decided the 6 months before I'm getting married, I'm going to go through all of Hilchos Kiddusha and all the Svarim, and I was like really holding, and all of a sudden the person asked me a question, do you make a Bichas Se'erisin if the Chassan is an Einavar Chiyuvas? Wow, Pesachei Tshuva, that's the only thing I knew when I got into the Kol Elyon. Hashem gave me a Shkacha Pratis. If they asked me anything else, I don't know if they would have known. So this got me into the Kol Elyon in 1990 or something. Okay, so here's the Pesachei Tshuva quoting the Noda Behuda. Again, who was the Noda Behuda? Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, who was a Rav in Prague in the end of the 18th century in the Altanai Shul, the famous Altanai Shul. Behuda, he wrote, as I told you when you were at my house, he wrote his two most famous svarim are the Tzlach, which is an acronym for Tzion Lenefesh Chaya, named after his mother who died early. Tzion Lenefesh Chaya, a monument for Chaya's Neshama, or Chaya's Nefesh. And the Noda Behuda, named after his father, Yehuda Landau. So he named both of his svarim after his parents, which is just a nice thing. Most people name the svarim after themselves, but he named their parents. I always tell you that everyone should ask themselves this question, okay? Because remember, dreams, even if they don't come true, they define your identity. It's part of your identity, what your dreams are. So what sefer would you want to write, and or what would you call it? And if you could write a sefer, what would you call your sefer? So the cop-out is Minchas Ezra or Torah Seitan, you know, just, but think about like deeper things, like what type of sefer you'd want to write, and what would you call the sefer if you were to write the sefer? Just get your mind working a little bit. That's where you're heading, okay? Probably never get, I'll never get, who knows, I have time to write svarim, but at least it's always churning what I call my svarim. Okay, so, he just says, since it's a berachas mitzvah, not only should it be recited over l'siyasan, but it should be only if the person's a bar chiyuva. Okay, now in theory, and we'll see today, how many ways could you argue on the Rambam? How many different shitas can you have? Well, I accept this part of his assumption, but not that part of his assumption. And this part of his assumption, not that part of his assumption. How many shitas could argue on this Rambam in Perek Daleth? Got me.
Four.
Okay, tell me one. Start from the top level assumption. The first assumption the Rambam makes is
that it's a mitzvah.
Is a mitzvah to get married. Very good. I could you know, check out of the Rambam that way and say it's not a mitzvah to get married. We'll see who says that. Or I could say there's a mitzvah to get married, but for some reason I can't make a berachas mitzvah. Very good. And what's the third way? We'll see the fourth way.
It's not overly serious.
Very good. Or there's a mitzvah. This is a berachas mitzvah. But for some reason, I don't recite over last year. So let's focus on those three, because those are the three major approaches. Okay, so very good. We've been here for less than a month, and everyone knows how to take a shita, dissect it into its constituent assumptions, and rejecting each assumption splinters off into a different shita. So we're going to focus today, I'll mention some other shitas, we're going to focus on, okay, who can attach? A, B, C. Who's A, who's B, who's C?
Rush is B.
Who says it's not a mitzvah? Rush. Who says it's a mitzvah, but there's no berachas mitzvah? The Ramban.
Yeah.
Who says there's a mitzvah, and it's a berachas mitzvah, it's not over l'siyasa?
Right.
Okay, so at least you've mapped out the sukkah. Okay, now you see, now you can read it a little carefully, or read it as carefully as we can, but now we more or less have a picture. There are other shittos that fit in, other questions, but now at least you have your framework. You remember, framework for a sukkah, organization. If not, you've just got ideas circulating in midair, you don't know where to place them. Like, oh, this is in this camp, this is in this camp. Like creating quadrants to a sukkah. Very good guy. Okay. So let's see the famous sheet of the Rush. Let's read the Rush a little. Doesn't get any more famous than this Rush. Okay? If someone says you're learning in Gush, tell me about the Rush Rambam, you know, I'd be embarrassed to say, don't say you're in my shir, okay? Say you're in my Freeman's shir. When you're retiring, you know, the Rush and the Rambam, like, come on. I mean, it's like ABCs. Let's see the Rush, the famous Rush. And this is, you know, always a good Sheva Brachos, engagement party, Machayev, yes mitzvah, no mitzvah. So here the Rush says, again, what tips the Rush off from this sugya? Remember, the Rush is coming from two angles. One is his logical angle. He doesn't believe there's a mitzvah. By the way, before we even open Ksuvos, why would you think there's no mitzvah to get married? Now, not conceptually, but what about language, text, syntax, to say, you know what, Eitan?
Key.
Right, it says key. It doesn't say tikach isha. So right off the bat, before you start drilling down into Ksuvos, Torah says ki ikach isha. It describes it in a very, very different way than it describes ulakachtem lochem, teshvu basukos, tochlu matzos. Normally there's a command style. Here the Torah says ki ikach isha. Aaron.
I feel like the other way to read that is ki,
could
also just mean
when. Okay, correct. Right. That's why the Rambam was also smart. He also got paid. But the Rush read it his way. Okay. Now, you come to Ksuvos. What else is jarring? So, you know, I scratch my head a little. Maybe there's been a mitzvah.
Also, why are we mentioning chuppah here?
Right, so okay, top down, start general, then go specific. The language of this bracha is off. What's the normal bracha and mitzvah? Two choices, either
the actual action,
le or al. Sometimes le shev basoka, lahandik ne'er shulchanika. Sometimes it's al until sadaim, malachilas matzah. Famous machlokas between the Ramban and Rabbeinu Tam. Who knows? No, but what's the general parameters? It's basically Bar Psachim. Anyone learn Psachim in high school? Nav Zayin? So the general, remember, none of these doctrines fit all brachos, but these are the general doctrines. The Rabbeinu Tam says that le is mitzvos that last, whereas al are mitzvos that are quantum one-moment performances. Whereas the Ramban says that le is mitzvos that you should do personally, whereas al are mitzvos you can do through a shliach. Not all these brachos fit in. There's a beautiful, beautiful sugi on the Rasha, plenty of shitas, but that's where it comes up in Psachim, Dav Zayin, and Aleph. But either way, it's a short bracha, le or al, right? Very famous story, nice Erev Yom Kippur story about the Jews. They tell you this story, who were gathered at the Umschlagplatz in Kovna.
Probably what? Not.
Okay, so gathered at the what's an Umschlagplatz? What? Right. No. Umschlagplatz is a gathering place where they gather to be taken either on trains to concentration camps or to be marched into the forest and summarily executed. So they knew what was happening and they didn't know what bracha to make on Kiddush Hashem. So they finally found, a grandchild of Rabbi Chanan and Chafetz Chaim who had been in a previous attempt, you know, execution and somehow had survived, and he passed on the Masara. There's actually a machlokas. Some say it's a bracha arucha, similar to this bracha. Some say it's a bracha katsara. We paskin it's a bracha katsara. Bracha Hashem, l'kein ha-melech olam, asher kudishanu, tzitzav tzivano, l'kadesh es shemel barabim. The bracha we recite in the morning during Korbanos. So again, many people, whether Mekadoshim Shemayim, they're not in a state of mind or in a situation where they can make the bracha, but if you know that you're going through Mekadoshim Shemayim, it's the final mitzvah of Mekayim in this world, so you're set a bracha. Gavi?
When we say the bracha in Korbanos, I've seen like in different Siddurim, it's Kadoshim Cha, Kadoshim
Shema,
what's the...
Kadosh, okay, Kadosh, either way, I mean, it's just different. But the Kadosh Shem Cha, the Kadosh Shema, Barabim. Yes, Gavi?
Did you say Shema before or after?
I don't think there's halacha about Kiddush Hashem. It's a mitzvah. Right? It's a shema. The shema is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to say shema Kiddush Hashem. It's, remember, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is learned from which psukim in the Torah? Two psukim.
Megdashti
b'saf b'nei Yisrael, Pashas Emar, and b'chal miyodecha, b'chal nafshecha, b'chal miyodecha. Rabbi Akiva turned shema into the pasuk of Kiddush Hashem. But the shema Yisrael in the Torah is a pasuk about believing in Hashem. It's not about Masei Nefesh HaKiddush Hashem. Rabbi Akiva, ironically, who darshaned Kiddush Hashem for the pasuk B'chal Levavcha V'chal Nafshecha, he's the person who darshaned that, Afilu Notel Nafshecha, he said Shema, and then that pasuk, which Shema became the pasuk. Anyway, so the Rosh, as Zach said correctly, notices three irregularities, not just that it's a Bracha Rucha, but three irregularities. So can anyone tell me the irregularities? There are three irregularities here in the Bracha. Not just that it's verbose as opposed to succinct, but there are three things in this bracha that are abnormal. Sam, what are they?
One is that you focus on the Isser and not the...
Right. Namely, which words?
Arusas.
Why us Arusas? Why are you talking about the Isser? That's one irregularity. Irregularity number two is?
Why is it not Kadoshes?
I'm just trying to give you precise reading skills, like to pick out... What's irregularity number two? Okay, that's actually three sequentially, but all counted as two. Why are we mentioning the chuppah if we're not at the chuppah? And what's the regulating number two sequentially?
Why don't we say the
Someone else says it?
Okay, that's what the rest says, but that's not the textual irregularity, and we don't know if that's true. The Rambam may not agree with that, but...
Arise.
Like, why are you talking about my sister or my mother? I'm not marrying them, Baruch Hashem. I'm marrying my wife. So why all of a sudden are we broadening it to these Zarah and these Erisahos and Chuppah? So the Rosh is willing to tolerate a Bracha Arucha, because there are Birchas HaMitzvahs that are Brachas Aruchos, but he's not willing to tolerate all this extraneous information. So the Rosh combined these irregularities in the Bracha with his conception, probably from Ki Ikach, that it's not a mitzvah, is, oh, put two and two together. There's no mitzvah to get married. There's no mitzvah to get married. There can't possibly be a Birchas HaMitzvah on getting married. And this must be not a Berachas HaMitzvah, but a Berachas HaShemach. Okay, so let's read the Rosh together again. It's very easy to read. Venerally, ki bracha zu eina bracha lasiyas HaMitzvah, ki peria verivya hainu kiyam HaMitzvah. The mitzvah is peruvu, which would make Kiddushin what? Hashem mitzvah. Interestingly enough, maybe even not that. Why? Because what's the mitzvah? Having children. So what's the Hashem mitzvah? Bia. So what's Kiddushin? Hechsher de Hechsher. So this is an interesting Rosh. He doesn't use the terms, but it's an interesting Rosh when we try to talk about how far back can we push a mitzvah. Like, what are the boundaries of mitzvah? For a bracha purposes, can anyone think of where else in Shas we care about, is it within the radius of a mitzvah, or it's too preliminary to be called the mitzvah experience? Where else would you want to ask this question, Rosh? Now give me general categories. Let me stick with myself. What halachic yardsticks, when I apply them, do I need to know, oh, is this within, as I call it, the mitzvah radius, or it's so preliminary, right? You'd all agree that waking up in the morning is not a mitzvah. Oh, but I need to wake up in order to put on, okay, it's too far removed from the radius. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'd all agree that if I don't have tefillin that day, going to buy a pair of tefillin, just to use your example, be a hefshim mitzvah, not the mitzvah. So we know our boundaries. Something could be so preliminary, so unrelated, but when would that be important to me? What would you think, Fred? Osik mitzvah patam and a mitzvah. Very good. The Rashi in Sukkah. Holech lekras rabo. You go to learn Torah. You're patam for mitzvah. Where else would it be important in theory? Okay, that's a similar logical structure, but that's not a mitzvah. That's for kamalei v'drabamine. What's the radius of the maisa hariga, maisa ritzach, but not for mitzvahs. Where else? Would we care about, no, not just Argamor, but where else, something close to Argamor, I'm going to give you an eyelash yourself. Is it a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? Where would I ask that question? Well, is Hechsher mitzvah, is it in or is it not in? Mimsel Chavtzicha. Can I do it on Shabbos? What if I'm getting together and I'm doing something which is only a Hechsher Mitzvah? Can it be something which is Mutter on Shabbos, even though it's Mimsel Chavtzicha? It's a Chavtzei Shemayim. So the many areas in Halacha that I'd be interested in, and they may not stack up. Something be more be Hechsher Mitzvah for, let's say, Hechsher Shabbos, but not Hechsher Mitzvah for, let's say, Asig Mitzvah, for the Mena Mitzvah. So this is an important rush to keep in mind, because he doesn't use the terminology, but he says the mitzvah is puravu, okay, and he proves it's puravu. The Rosh says you can kind of puravu with a pilegesh, or maybe come across what a pilegesh is, okay. The apin osa isha, after the vow, I'm skipping a little bit, even if you do get married, you choose the regular route, okay, the same puravu irvia, kivon shef shalakai mitzvah below puravu irvia below kiddushin. Again, there's some words missing in the Rosh. There's a famous Rosh. Tell us what it is. Give it that title. Is Kiddushin a Hechsher Mitzvah? Is it a Hechsher de Hechsher? He never commits himself to it. He's obviously in that zone. He's in that region of not Mitzvah, but Hechsher Mitzvah. This is a famous Rosh outside of Ksuvos, trying to help determine the parameters of the Mitzvah. We don't know what he says, but it's always a Rosh that people come back to. Now the Rosh has a problem. You see the Rosh's Lamdas, right? This is all, I keep telling you, Lamdas is not some modern invention. Lamdas was innate to them. They just thought about it instinctively. And because we lost that instinctive or instinctual way, so Reb Chaim had to create a language and a methodology and a pedagogy and X and Y's. And but, right, the Rosh is saying, wait a second. I'm going to prove my point by contrasting it with something else, which may look similar but is really different, because I'm going to create tight and clear definitions. Right? Lamdas is not sloppy Joe. You just throw some meat in. Lamdas is hamburgers. Okay? Clear, hamburger, frank. So what he's saying, wait a second, it may sound like something, but it's a little different. What may it sound like? Shechita. But yet, Shechita, there is a Birchas Mitzvah. And after all, you don't have to do Shechita, and you don't have to get married. So why does marriage not considered a Mitzvah, not Birchas Mitzvah, but Shechita evidently is a Mitzvah and has a Birchas Mitzvah? So the Rosh has to create sharp boundaries between what is a Mitzvah, what's not a Mitzvah. What are the three differences the Rosh points out? Again, once there are three, that already says, well, what's the real one, right? What's the real boundary? What determines whether something's on this side of the fence or that side of the fence, which is why we call a definition in Lumbus, what do we call it? A geder. The geder is, or in Hebrew, the hagdara, because you're building a fence. And it has to be a sharp fence. One side you belong here, the other side you belong there, okay? If you learn to think precisely and make sharp differences, you are way ahead of the game in Lumbus, okay? I've seen so many, it was interesting, like, was it last year or 2 years ago? I forget whom, but one of the boys, last year I think, had a grandfather who learned in TELS. Spent many years learning in TELS. So he came to visit Shir one day, loved the Shir, it was very, really nice. And then on the spot, I asked him, like, you know, just tell us about your experiences in TELS in the 60s. And he shared some of his feelings. And he then later in life moved to Teaneck and got very close with Rabbi Adler from Reno, and he became like a really big chassid of Rabbi Soloveitchik through his experiences with Rabbi Adler. And like after he's describing his experiences in Yeshiva and TELS, I said, like, what do you think of the differences? Because I don't read any TELS of Torah because I was told that it's just too confusing. It's too close to the Brisker Torah, but like I read a Pnei Yeshua, he's not discussing Brisker issues, so it's a sideline. I bring it into the Brisker world. But so I was always told not to, I don't read it because I don't want to confuse my mind. And I think what he said is basically the Gedarim were not really sharp in his mind. Like, I've never read it. Like things bled into each other and ideas bled into each other. Rabbi Soloveitchik was very, this is the definition, it's this and it's not that. So you can think clearly and precisely. Again, I don't read the Svarim, I have like one or two that I inherited, so you know, I'm not saying at a point of expertise, I'm just relaying an experience that he shared and my impressions on it. You know, if you have people that learned there, you speak to them directly. My point is, think sharp. What are the three reasons that Shechita is a mitzvah and Kiddushin are not? What are the three? Number one, look in the Rosh. Ezra. Great. Give me an English word. Shechita is necessary. Necessity versus option. Or alternate choices. Something which is a necessary portal, my word, is a mitzvah. Something which is unnecessary, flexible, alternatives, can be obviated, can be circumvented, whatever, that can't be a mitzvah. Okay, now that could be one, right? You see, we're touching upon fundamental questions. Let's say we stop learning Sivas and we start to write a Sefer Mitzvahs. Okay, so we'd have to start to create parameters. What is a mitzvah? What's not a mitzvah? Like the Rambam did with his Shirashim, with his 14 Shirashim. So listen, this Rosh is giving us information. But to convince us, he goes further. What else? Not just necessity versus option or volition, voluntary. Yes, Gavi?
Is this something
about
the
pasuk? Yeah.
Right. Language in the pasuk. Ki yikach versus v'zavachta v'yachalta. Okay, that itself is a questionable. Where did the mitzvah shechita come from? But he feels it comes from the word v'zavachta v'yachalta. You'll do a shechita. Okay, so now we have a second parameter, right? So you see we're building fundamental questions. What's a mitzvah, what's not? Is it a logical question, necessity versus option? Is it a textual issue, how the Torah describes it? Possibly a little bit of each. And then the Rosh comes with a wild card. What's a wild card?
What?
What's a wild card? The third differentiator between Kiddushin and Shechita. And this is a wild card because it opened up to a whole new, let's see, my young budding Lamdaner, if he can translate this into a whole new world of Lamdas. He says, right, there is one Shechita that is clearly a mitzvah. What is that Shechita? Shechita's Korbanos. Whoa, someone blow the whistle in the Rosh. What's the assumption the Rosh is making, and how's that going to be the sort? How's that going to be the core of your next Sefer?
It's part of the Korban.
Okay, it's a sidelight. What is the relationship between Shechita's Kachim and Shechita's Chulin? The Rosh says they're similar. You can prove one from the other. You can extrapolate. Since Shechita's Kachim is a mitzvah, Shechita's Chulin is a mitzvah. Whoa! Who says? They just sound the same, they look the same, but maybe they're not the same. Okay, that's your next sefer, right? Mm-hmm. You can imagine this is pretty important in Chulin and Zvachim.
Important line in the Rosh.
No, there is no condition that's a mitzvah. There's no person in this world, no scenario in this world who's been Mekayim a mitzvah by giving a ring to a woman. But there is a person who's Mekayim a mitzvah by taking a knife and shechting an animal korban. Since that's a mitzvah, Gavi, then all knife cuttings of animals' necks are a mitzvah. Because he assumes there's a continuity between them. Okay, so let's read the Rosh together before we answer questions. He says, okay, V'lodami l'shchita she'ino m'chuyiv l'shchot v'lechol v'afilu hachi k'shuch chochet lechol m'varech. By the way, now maybe you want to check out in the Rosh. What's the Rosh's assumption? The Rosh's assumption is that berachas shechita is a birchas mitzvah, and therefore he feels compelled to make distinctions. You could say, who says? Just like birchas kiddushin isn't a birchas mitzvah because there's no mitzvah, maybe shechita there's no mitzvah and it's a different type of a bracha. Okay, what Zach means is as follows: Rabbi Soloveitchik developed a fourth category of a bracha, a fascinating category. What's the only bracha you recite after the mitzvah? Anyone of the Gemara Psachim chutz me? Ger, tefillas a ger. Okay, so there are two ways to understand why he only recites the bracha after tefillah. Either technically he just can't say it before because he's still a goy, or as the Rav developed, which is a fascinating concept, it just takes the Rav to think holistically and broadly. There's no gemara about this, but just to see the system rather than a tosfos here or a tosfos there. The Rav says sometimes you make a bracha not on a mitzvah, not to be mishabach Hashem, not on bechzenenin. You make a bracha on a changed halachic status. On a matir, on an oser, when halachic status changes, what do we call a change in halachic status? A chalos. And when it's a new chalos, you make a bracha. So he says that's maybe the bracha of tefillah, because now it's Kiddushas Yisrael, maybe the bracha of tefillah sedayim, which we're going to one day in the Gemara's afterwards. So shechita may be a bracha, not on the maisa mitzvah shechita, but on the chalos. What's the chalos here? You've converted the animal from? Yisr to heter, the chalos heter. Making a bracha on the chalos heter. The Rosh doesn't assume that. The Rosh feels he's making a bracha on the mitzvah of Maisa Shechita, and therefore he feels compelled to justify why Shechita is a mitzvah with its birchas a mitzvah, as opposed to Kiddushin not being a mitzvah, not having a birchas a mitzvah, having a birchas a shef. So let's just read the Rosh together. What are the three differences? One is necessity versus voluntary. One second. That's the Rosh's distinction. Having established daylight and difference between Shechita and Kiddushin, having assumed that Kiddushin isn't a mitzvah, because the mitzvah is per revu, Kiddushin is just a heksher or a heksher to heksher, now the Rosh comes with his punchline. Here's the Rosh's punchline. Let's read it together. Uvracha zu niskina laseis shevach la'kadosh baruch hu. It is a classic birchas ha-shevach. Okay? So the next time someone says, give me an example of a birchas ha-shevach, you want to be a little wise guy, say, Kiddushin according to the Rosh. See if he's following. If he doesn't follow, then you walk out of the room. Change the different rate. Berachas Erusin according to the Rosh. Okay, he's a Talmud Chacham. Okay. Don't go with the easy ones. Barber, hey, Shabzabim, and Lightning. Berachas Erusin according to the Rosh. Okay, so the Rosh has a front level, top level machlokas with the Rambam, and of course, this splintered across Shas that just showed you one Gemara Kiddushin, probably the most famous Gemara Kiddushin about this. Sounds like the Rambam of the Rosh, Mem Aleph.
Rambam.
What did the Gemara say?
Mitzvah.
Right. You should be Mekadesh a woman yourself. Don't send the Shlich to Mekadesh a woman, because what does the Gemara say?
Mitzvah bo.
Yosem Yibashlich. It sounds like Kiddushin's a mitzvah. Can anyone answer the Rosh? Evidently, according to the Rosh, it's a Chiddush. Let's see if you... Can you finish the sentence? Don't give me the answer. Finish the sentence. It's a chiddush, not an X, but an Y. Tell me what the X's and the Y's are in this sugya. It's a chiddush, not an X, but an Y. It's me. Close. 90% say better. 90% there. It's not a chiddush in how we understand kiddushin. It's a chiddush in how we understand mitzvah. Yes, maybe so. Do we say mitzvah bo yosim yishlucha by kiddushin? The answer is we do. It either proves something about kiddushin, mitzvah, Rambam, or proves that mitzvah bo yosim yishlucha applies even to non-mitzvahs for us. Okay. So who wants to stop learning ksuvahs and go to that gemara? That was a rhetorical question. Okay. Does mitzvah bo yosim yishlucha apply to non-mitzvahs? And by the way, what's the only other example the gemara gives of mitzvah bo yosim yishlucha? Kavod Shabbos, right? I remember. I was like, Erev Rosh Hashanah was cooking fish, you know. I was one of the cooks that were cooking. And someone, like, you know, wrote me a WhatsApp. I was like, yeah, WhatsApps all day. I said, I can't really answer cooking the fish. So the guy on the other end was Talmud Chacham, and he quoted the Gemara Kiddushin to me that the Rav Kahana was Mav Lechshivuta. He would salt the fish. So I was being Mekave. Right? So the fact that Mitzvah Bo Yosem Yishlucha applies to cooking fish on Erev Shabbos either proves that cooking fish on Erev Shabbos is a mitzvah, or that mitzvah applies even to things that aren't mitzvahs but have Shabbos. So that also, the Rosh is going to ripple as to how we understand getting ready for Shabbos. Is it half mitzvah or is it mitzvah itself? Of course, the answer is it's mitzvah itself because it's called Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos means you actually physically yourself prepare for Shabbos. Only Shabbos is on Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is preparing for Shabbos. What? Learn Torah. That will solve all your problems. Okay, change your clothing. Come early. Buy some good cake for the Titian of Tarragon's house. Okay, bake your own cake. Okay, here we go. Okay, that's the Shita Harash arguing with the Ramba. Who's the next Shita? This is the really interesting Shita in the Sukkah. The Ramban. Okay, let's open up our Ramban, because there are three parts of the Ramban. We're going to have to organize them carefully. By the way, okay, hold your sheet for a second. In theory, take the sheet I gave you today. If the Rosh holds as a Berachas HaShevach, so you would expect, Agavi, what would you expect? That the timing of the Bracha should be after. Because most Berachas HaShevachs are responses to experiences. You see lightning, you make a Bracha. You thank Hashem, you're Vatik, Berachas HaNenin. That's an interesting question. Why make it before rather than after? The Gemara actually talks about that. But your typical Berachas HaShevach is afterwards, not before. Right? That's why some people have a minhag to hold their fingers to the Shabbos, to the Havdalah light during the bracha, rather than to wait after the bracha, because the bracha should be in response to an experience. So you see the light, you know, reflected off of your fingernails, and then you recite the bracha, rather than make the bracha and then seeing it reflected. So the minhag, again, you can see people in a halacha, the minhag is to hold your fingers and try to see the light during the bracha, so that it could be your Berachas HaShevach. So you would think that the Berachas HaShevach of Erusin should come afterwards. That's what you and I would think. Berachas HaShevach, which the Rosh feels the Berachas Erusin is against the Rambam.
You use it as a rider that it might be a Berachas.
No, I'm just saying in general. Okay, the Rosh happens to say, just out of interest, look at the Shuvah Rosh. Again, I gave you light Makaras, I didn't want you to feel like you're overwhelmed, but just I'll fill in with some of the other Makaras. The Rosh says, V'shesha Alta. This is the Rosh, Chaf Vav Aleph. Chivas Arash, 130 Chivas. Very, very important Chivas. Remember, what did the Rosh write? What are the things we have in the Rosh? We have the Chivas, Piskei Arash, Tosis Arash, And Parash HaRash and some of the Mishnayos and Tyros and so on. So those are the four ways we access the Rush. Rabbeinu Rush was? Very famous son? Very famous Rebbe? Very, no, Tor was a son. Very famous Rebbe? Marami Rottenberg. Okay, Rabbeinu Usher. Anyone know his father's name? Ben Yechiel. Okay. Trick question. Ashkenazi or Sephardi? Well, why? He ran away. He ran away from France. They wanted to imprison him like his Rebbe. He ran away to Spain. And in Spain he became, that was where his prestige was, 14th century. Okay, so this is the Rabbeinu Usher Bar Yechiel. Right? It's hard to describe the Sefer. I mean, it's a hacker. You know, the best way I can describe the Sefer is to tell you the following Rav Lichtenstein story. We went to the Rebbe, Shirulim Bakir, Syrian. You can tell Rav Lichtenstein's incredible tolerance because he must have heard these questions 3 million times. He said, like, just get the tape, get the recording. Like I said, so Rebbe, to what extent? You know, Gush guys like to start every question. To what extent? To what extent? Bakir Syrian. So he gave us his recommendation. He said, can you define Bakirs for us? So he said, oh, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rosh, Ran. Miri. So like someone in the audience said, Rebbe, if we learn Shas that way, Bikias, we'll never finish it. And I promise you, there's not a shred of arrogance in what he said. It's because he really thought he was like you and you were like him. And when they asked Rebbe, we'll never finish Shas that way. If we learn Gemara Rashi, tells us Rosh Ran, I think it's a Torah also, Beis Yosef maybe, never finish. He said, I did, like that. And he didn't say it as a way of showing off. He really believed that he was like you and you were like him, and the only difference was how hard you worked. He legendarily, you know, was a machine. He just never stopped. So again, he had intellectual firepower that none of us in this room possessed, but the work ethic that he showed, literally, and like I keep telling you, all these Sfarim, when the Rav gave Shir, he gave Shir in a Gemara and a Rambam and a Ran. So, and his mind was strong enough, just that he knew Torah well enough. Rav Aaron, being of that generation, he just piled through Rav Yaz and piled through Ravans and piled through Or Zeruas and piled through Shibboleth Levis and piled through Tosefta's. Just the amount of Torah that he piled through was just otherworldly. I mean, so when we talk about Chaim Kanievsky, who was nifty this year, it's nice to mention him because of a great loss this year. I mean, he literally went through what we would call a Kala Tara Kula run every year. He spent Babli, Yushalmi, Medrash, though, whatever. I don't know the exact roster, but just when you think about the discipline and the focus and the mental energy just to read and consume as much of a Kodesh Baruch Hu story as possible, you know, it's something unfortunately I can't imagine. Like I can imagine, you know, look at this Rosh Hashiva. If my life had been different, and I won't be sitting here teaching you this sugya, I'd be sitting and learning Erechin now or something. Okay, I could be that person, whatever. In my wildest dreams, I can't imagine being a Chaim Kanievsky. My wildest dreams, I can't imagine being. Sometimes you need people who are just so far beyond terms of their work ethic and their commitment to Talmud Torah, just to create that standard. So Shishalta, Shematzas Hakasev B'Sheilos V'Tshuvos Hashem Yitzchak Alfasi, who was the Riv. Shein Levarach Brachos Erisin Elakodim Hakidushin V'Chein Brachos Achnisa V'Yisakodim Armila V'Shikol Mitzvos Levarach Lenov Alasiyasan. The Rush says yes, which is interesting because the Rush evidently holds one of two things. That Ovel HaSiyasan is not a din in Brachos and Mitzvos, it's a din in general Brachos. Or, since it's a din in Brachos and Mitzvos, we try to model certain Brachos HaShevachs after Brachos and Mitzvos based on the sequence. That's a Lamnisha question. Why does the Rush, who holds the Brachos HaShevach, still claim in the Tshuva, based on the Rif, you should make Brachos HaErisin beforehand? It's because the beforehand Ovel HaSiyasan clause is not limited to Brachos and Mitzvos, or it basically is. But we want this to look like a Berachas HaMitzvah because there is no Berachas HaMitzvah. That's a slight nuance in the Acharonim trying to understand the Rush. A lot of people want to claim, okay, that this sheet of the Rush is also an interesting sheet in Tosfos. Let's read the sheet in Tosfos because, again, you'll see Lumnus at work. Lumnus is associating two things that would seem to be different, but you find the common logic. Tosfos in Sachem and Daf Zayin, bottom of the page, famous Tosfos says, the Ein Tzarech, he argues in Ovel HaSiyasa. He says that... Well, he says that Erisin is afterwards, okay? So he's going to argue on that one technical detail, but presumably he's going to say it's a Berachas HaShevach like the Rush. This is a Bali Atosis. So ignore the Overlasiyas and yes or no. That could be a technical factor. Let's read Tosis. Ein Tzarech Levarach Overlasiyaso. You only have to make a Berach Overlasiyaso. Look at the association here. Ela B'makom She'osa Mitzvahu Mivarach. only where the person who's performing the mitzvah makes a bracha. Those two go hand in hand. If the person doing the mitzvah makes the bracha, then it has to be over l'asiyasan. Avol, kishimavarach acher, when someone else makes the bracha, lo, then you don't need over l'asiyasan. He's talking about a bracha of bris milah. What's the connection between those two halachos? Why would I connect those two halachos? If the person doing the mitzvah makes a bracha, then I need over l'asiyasan. If someone else makes a bracha, I don't need over l'asiyasan. What's the answer, obviously? If the person doing the mitzvah makes the bracha, then it's a bracha mitzvah. If it's a bracha mitzvah, then I need. Yes. If someone else is making the bracha, then it's a shevach. It's a bracha shevach. I don't know over las yasa. Okay, this is, I wanted you to see the tosfos, because now we're doing this like every day. We're taking two halachas that seem to be different, we're pulling them together, we're gluing them together, right? You think there's one halacha when, and there's one halacha who. Why should the when and the who be connected? The answer is, everything's connected, because it all stems from common logic. So you just see Tosfos, again, just, it's like a throwaway for Tosfos. You know, we'd have a horror b'chaim about this. That's just a throwaway. Okay, 1 second, Zach. If the person during the mitzvah makes a bracha, evidently, it's a mitzvah. It's a bracha mitzvah. In Tosfos' mind, you know, l'asiyasa. If the person, someone else making the bracha, then it must be bracha shevach. It's bracha shevach, then you know, l'asiyasa in Tosfos' mind. The Rosh disagrees. 1 second, Zach. The Rosh says that it could be a bracha shevach, you still need over l'asiyasa. Now, Tosfos' raya, what's his template? And I'll prove to you that there's something called a birchas ha-shevach, which someone else makes the bracha, and you don't even have a lasiyasan. This is what I want you to see. Tosfos v'teda, I'll prove my whole theory, Tosfos l'msachim, sharei birchas erisin, eino mivarech ela achar erisin. Tosfos, listen carefully, is assuming that Tosfos is already knowing, he already knows that birchas erisin anyone can make. Where you got that from, I don't know. But anyone can make. Oh, so it tells us his mic. If anyone can make the bracha, then it must be a brother Shevach. So Birchas Shevach, then we don't need. Oh, that's yes. So Tosfos uses Birchas Erisin as the prototype, as the paradigm, knowing in his mind where he knows this from. I don't know, but Tosfos in his mind, or in their mind, already knows that Birchas Erisin anyone can make. If anyone can make, then it must be Birchas HaShevach. If it's a Birchas HaShevach, then it does have to be Avol HaSiyasan. Now we can extrapolate from Birchas Harrison to all other Birchas HaShevachs. So according to Tosfos, what's the signal that it's a Birchas HaShevach? Who? What's the consequence? Say, come on, give me one word answers. What's the signal? Who? What's the consequence? When. Okay? Sure, one word. Three words, one word. Who proves? When is the application? Okay? Who makes the bracha? When they make the bracha. So Tosfos in general held like the Rosh. This is the sheet of the Bali. Tosfos, they have a slight difference whether we still want to make over l'asiyasa or birchas kiddushin. That could be a kiddushin issue. But this is the sheet of the Rosh and Tosfos. Let's pile on to the Ramban. Okay, let's move ahead to the Ramban. Ramban in Tzivos. Very, very famous Ramban. Also a Ramban about modern society and modern sexuality and the world we live in, and we'll talk a little bit, we'll give a little bit of a rant in the Ramban. Let's first see what the Ramban says, okay? The beginning of the Ramban, I'm going to divide the Ramban in three for you, okay? Well, I'll first read it sequentially, then I'll read it logically for you, okay? Okay. Sequentially. The first part of the Ramban, starting from the words v'efshar, until the words, okay, v'ilu, or ovelasiyasa. Okay, that's the first part of the Ramban sequentially. We'll read it together. From the word v'efshar, it's in Dibra Maschil, v'tzivanu, we're starting from v'efshar. Okay, somebody's had a Ramban, you have to read Rambans really, really carefully. It's chock full of information, twists and turns, backs and forth. You can't, you got to read it. I mean, just look at my Ramban if you can, right? Okay, it's like it's chopped up and parentheses and notes and everything. I've read this about a few times, so just, you got to slow it down when you read the Ramban. That's the first part of the Ramban. The second part of the Ramban is from the words V'ilu until the words Gemar Malachta. Okay? The third part of the Ramban is the end until the words Uver Mutar Lehem. Okay? So I'm actually, since we don't have that much time, and I want you to get back to the Beis Medrash, I'm going to read the Ramban logically first. Okay? First, we're going to read the first part of the Ramban, where the Ramban is struggling with... Okay. You know what? Let's logically, really, the first part is the middle. Let's start with the word V'ilu to the word Gmar Malach. In this stage of the Ramban is trying to justify what happened to the Birchas HaMitzvah. Why is there no Birchas HaMitzvah? He's assuming this isn't a Birchas HaMitzvah, like the Rosh. He disagrees with the Rosh. He assumes there is a mitzvah. There's just no Birchas HaMitzvah. What happened to the Berachas HaMitzvah? And the Ramban is going to say, oh, technically we just can't make it. Can anyone pick out what's the technical problem? No, that's timing, not whether you make a bracha or not. What's the problem? Is a mitzvah? But there's no mechza mitzvah. What's the problem? Right. The Gemara says that typically we only recite the bracha when the mitzvah is completed. And according to the Ramban, Erison is not a complete mitzvah because put that away, right? Is Erison a separate mitzvah? Is it part of one long mitzvah? Famous Magid Mishnah, the Rambam, the beginning of the Chazishos, very important Ramban. So Ramban is going to basically say you're caught between a rock and a hard place. There is a mitzvah to get married, but it's part A of a long process. And Berachas HaMitzvahs only happen at the end of the process. So you can't make a Berachas HaMitzvah now, even though you're doing a mitzvah. So he's agreeing with the Rambam that it is a mitzvah, but agreeing with the Rosh that there's no Berachas HaMitzvahs. Let's read that part. That seems to be the core. Right? Try to locate the core. In your mind, where does it start? Under normal circumstances, there should be a Berachas HaMitzvah here. Okay, and I'm adding, and if there were a Berachas HaMitzvah, what would it sound like? We'll make it up. The Kadesh HaTeisha, Al Mitzvah Kiddushin. But we are barred from reciting that classic Berachas HaMitzvah for technical problems. So let's read the Ramban. If you would have done Kiddushin and Nisuin together, which some people do, if it had done together, Chazal did it. Then Hayim Mevarchim, the regular bracha. Here is the bracha. Asher Kiddushanu, b'mitzvah savitzivanu, ala Kiddushin v'alchopa. Normal bracha mitzvah. Kimosh Mevarchim ala Shchita. The Aksha, but now that we separate them, at least Chazal did, lo hayichon levarach asher Kiddushanu, al Kiddushin v'alchopa, sharei ein alchopa nasis Aksha. So we can't include chopa, you're not doing chopa. Chazal say they're separated by a year. I just make a bracha erison, here's the problem. Lo yichon lo asher Kiddushanu al Kiddushin, Okay, so this is the core of the Ramban. The core of the Ramban is, under normal circumstances, Kiddushin should be a normal mitzvah with a normal Berachas HaMitzvah, and there should be no sugi here, as the Rambam held. Right? The Rambam says there's nothing to see here. It's a regular mitzvah, regular Berachas HaMitzvah, regular application of Berachas HaMitzvah. There's nothing new here. Problem is, we can't generate a Berachas HaMitzvah because the parameters don't allow it. Therefore, Lafikach, now I'll read part three. Lafikach, the Rambam says, Chutzrichu levarech asher kiddushanu al harayos v'hitilanus acheros v'hodio she'en asiros she'nimtza. Here's the key line of the Ramban. So for until now, I just quoted the Nusach, so I didn't say anything. Reading Mishnah is the key line. Right? Until now, I was just describing. Hutzruchu, Levarach, Asher Kiddushanu, right? Someone tell me, well, there's something new in the Ramban. He's just quoting the, right? You have to have those eyes to be able to say, quote, here's the sar, here's the logic. Levikach, Hutzruchu, Levarach, Asher Kiddushanu, Hutzruchu, Levarach, Hutzruchu, Levarach, Asher Kiddushanu, blah, blah, blah. Shenimtza, nimtza, here's the twist. Shenimtza, turns out, kimi shemivarech al kedushasan shel Yisrael. You're making a bracha on kedushasan shel Yisrael.
Can you mean that?
Huh.
So wouldn't that mean that one has to be Yerushas?
Huh. New category. Shevach is normally, again, depending on how you define Shevach. Can someone give me the classic definition of a Berachas HaShevach? A bracha in response to something? What would be praiseworthy?
Natural.
Enjoyable. Experiential. You get some hana from something, you know, shatters the imagination, something. Special, different. It sounds, again, it depends upon your semantics. It sounds like the Ramban is creating, maybe not creating, excuse me, a whole new bracha. There's a Berachas HaMitzvah, which this isn't. There's a Berachas HaShevach, which doesn't use that word. There's a Berachas HaNenin, which we'll get to much in the summer. And what's this new category of a bracha? A bracha on?
Kiddushas
Yisrael. Who's Kadosh? Who's the paradigm of Kedusha? Hashem. What does Kadosh mean?
Separate.
Separate from this world, not holy. Kadosh means beyond. We try to be like Hashem. How do you know we should be Kadosh like Hashem? Ki Kadosh. Now, we can't be separate like Hashem because we're physical, we're divisible, we can't be distinct from this world, and not only Hashem doesn't want us to run away from this world, but even when we're in this world, He wants us to be in and out, part and not part. Eat, drink, get married, make money, whatever, but don't become too immersed that you forget the spirit and the world of eternity. That's what Kadosh is. He doesn't want us to be like Him because we can't be like Him. But He wants us to, you know, say, no, here's where I eat, here's where I don't eat, here's where I'm a sexual. I'm just like constantly more and more immersion, indulgence, more immersion. And sexuality is one of the, right? Rashi, Kedoshim to you, Prishim and Arayas. So this is a watershed moment. We're entering the world of marriage / sexuality. And we are mentioning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for creating an abstinent, disciplined, regimented, dignified world. Don't use that word. One second. We'll see. It could be. But I'll tell you why it may not be in a moment. Okay? And the Ramban says, now we're going to go back. It won't follow this train of thought. Now we're going to go back to the syntax, which is part one. Okay, now that we know what the bracha is, we know the bracha is a mitzvah, so it's a bracha on Kedushin Shal Yisrael, now you have to be very specific about what we're referring to. So let's read the first part of the Ramban. Mishna Kedushin, Devar Torah, Chupa L'Yusim, Devar Sofrim. Why do we say Kedushin and not Chupa? What's the answer? What does the Ramban say first? Why do we say Kedushin? Now that we've freed ourselves from the strict, regimented language of Berach HaMitzvah, just say it all. Talk about chuppah. Why don't we met what? Kiddushin Devitara. In Atara, you don't need chuppah. Kiddushin chuppah. The Arusa, according to Moshe Rishon, is only Asa, at least in terms of the halachas bein alavena, it's only Asa Midrabanan. So if we're grading which process has been Atara, which process is Midrabanan, Kiddushin comes out on top. So let's read the Ramban. Eshnesh, Kiddushin Devitara. Look at that language, Gavi. He avoids saying the word Shevach. We'll see later. Okay. Oh, we're talking about Kedusha. We don't just go around marrying people. Again, for us, it seems disgusting and repulsive, which it is, incestual. But unfortunately, people that have a sexual promiscuity and just do whatever they want, so everyone's marrying everyone else. So, right, which part of Sefer Bereishis am I referring to now? Everyone's marrying everyone else? Dharmavel, maybe, but where are people marrying sisters, mothers, wives? Vayishlach, Esav, right? You know, the genealogy, everyone's each other's mother, and right? That's basically the theme of Bereishis. Many gods, many wives. One god, one wife. Basically, monotheism, fidelity, loyalty, covenant, right? You don't really see, Bereishis is not a book of theology, you don't really see so much of Avodah Zarah on display. You just see everyone having multiple wives and sexual promiscuity, which is the veil or the signal of polytheism. So you're seeing, you know, loyalty, commitment, discipline, focus, relationship, as opposed to just animal lust and just dependence upon power and might rather than relationships. But Bereishis is about relationships, not about theology, but theology is behind relationships. It's a model for theology. So we're not going to just marry whoever we want. Vim Yivarach Mekadesh Yisrael Aide Kedushin. Okay, so then just say a simple language. Say Mekadesh Yisrael. Gavi, store that away. Ramban says, okay, I know that it's a bracha on Kedushin Shel Yisrael. It's not a bracha, it's a mitzvah, even though there is a mitzvah. Just say Mekadesh Yisrael Aide Kedushin, right? Don't say chuppah. Just say, keep in mind, why would the Ramban choose this? Everyone keep that in mind. Ezra put on the Ezra shelf. What makes this so attractive but impossible? Look at this line. Im Yivarech Mekadesh Yisrael Adei Kedushin. Oh, people that are listening, Hashemeya Savor, Sharusa Mutaris Laros. He's going to think that you're allowed Midrabanan to just live with your Aros. So therefore, Lefika Chutzuchu Lefarish Vaslan Sarus. By the way, there's an Issa Rabbanan. So you were Mekadesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu through sexual abstinence and sexual discipline and But right now, I can't really live with this woman until I get to the next stage. But I can't mention chuppah because it's not happening now. So you have like a whole bunch of calculations you have to say. It's a bracha on Kedushas Yisrael Gavri, Kedushin, Baruch Hu, Kiddush, Yisrael, Bekedushas Kedushin. The natural language for that would be Mekadesh Yisrael Al Yedei Kedushin. But I have to throw in the fact that she's still usher to me. And again, what Ramban really means is I should just say Mekadesh Yisrael Al Yedei Kedushin Viser Erva, which is implied in Kedushin. Once I'm mentioning Arusos, I may as well mention Arayos. Once I have to say that the Arusos is usher, I may as well, you know, once I'm not sticking to a strict formulation, I may as well be as verbose as I want. I can't marry this woman yet, Midrabanan. By the way, part of my Kedushin, unless I can marry my sister, brother, whatever, and that's how the bracha turns out. Okay, so this is the logical flow of the Ramban. Part number one is, why is there a bracha mitzvah? Technical reasons. Part number two is defining the bracha. Part number three is, okay, now that I've defined the bracha, why all this, you know, why all these conversations? Because I'm stuck. I want to make sure that it's clear, and I want to make sure that I've conveyed the point. Famous sheet is the Ramban. New category of, look at my eyes. New category of bracha. Is it really new?
It's kind of like a cross between brachas shevach and brachas mitzvah.
Okay. That's conceptualizing it. Is there any bracha? Is it also on Kedushas Yisrael? Or asking a question another way, is there anyone that arrived at the same conclusion as the Ramban, maybe a couple thousand years earlier? About 1,000? But because they knew it so intuitively, they were just finger snappers, and they didn't need to say it like the Ramban, and because the Ramban was a finger snapper, he didn't need to give shir about it for 40 minutes, just said it.
Rav Acha,
what does Rav Acha say? Before you go, shush. Need a mic dropper. Come on, drop the mic. Okay? This is a quiet mic. Yes? Go ahead. Why would I? No, don't. Why did Rav Acha want to be Messiah in Berachas Kiddush in that way? Because it sounds a lot like Kiddush. What other bracha in Halacha is about Kiddushas Yisrael? We want to be a little separate from this world. Kiddush. Thank you. One of the ways we're separate from this world, like Hashem, is we separate ourselves from the world, like Hashem. And that's why, hold on, it's a gift. Let's read the Gemara. Like, guys, I don't mean to be bullied, but there's no other way to read this Gemara. Oh, I'll give you another way, but whatever. But this is the way to read the Gemara. I mean, we knew what the bracha was because we had the masara, but they didn't know whether to have a chasima. And here again, the natural inclination is you shouldn't need a chasima, because when do you need a chasima? Anyone know? Where the bracha wanders. Wandering brachas have to be corralled back in with a chasima. Give me examples of wandering brachas. Brachas Atara, Harivna, another wandering bracha, Alokai Neshama, Neshenesatabi. Wandering brachos have to be reined back in, tefillos, let's say, which by definition are wandering. But non-wandering brachas, such as Brachas Aperus, Brachas Mitzvos, right? Baruch Atah Hashem, you don't say Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Baruch Atah Hashem, right? Praise. You know, to bring it back in. So there's no wandering here. There's a lot of text here, but you're not wandering. You're not talking about, Afginu. You're not talking about Rabbi Tam. You're talking about Kiddushin, Arayas, Asuras. So I would say, instinctively, Pashab Shat, don't have a chasima. Why would you need a chasima? There's nothing wandering. That's, who says that? Aaron, who says you don't need a chasima?
Wow. Rabbi Bar Ravada and Rabbi Bar Ravada.
Okay.
Mandalo
Chasim, so Ravin Bar Ravada and Rabbi Bar Ravada. Okay, two brothers teamed up here. Ravin and Rabbi Bar Ravada. They both quoted Rav Yehuda, who just ended. Whereas Rav Acha Barei de Rava, Rava's son, quoted Rav Yehuda. Again, Rav Yehuda was the source of this all. Right? That's where we had the Nusach. He was Messiah. He was Mechosin. Baruch Ata Hashem Mekari, Shisaldei Chod V'Kirush, Mandalo Chosin, Minitavei Berchas HaPeres, Berchas HaMitzvos. There's no wandering, no wandering, no Chosim. Mande Chosim, Minitavei HaKidusha. What? It's not Friday night. It's Wednesday night. Why are you making Kiddush? Yeah, if you're a Lamed, you know what's going on behind the scenes. Because it's similar to Kiddush. Just like Kiddush is a bracha on Kiddushas and Shal Yisrael. So too, Berachas Erusin is a bracha on Kiddushas and Shal Yisrael. The Rav, by the way, extended this, being the Rav, being a Tana-like thinker, the Rav extended this to the bracha of Lachnisa, Bavisa, Shalav, and Ravina. The other bracha we make in a milah, right? Kiddushas Yisrael. That's when you have Kiddushas Yisrael, when you have a first milah. Now we know why the Ramban felt that. What should the bracha be? But we have to throw in all this discussion. What should the bracha be? Mekadesh Yisrael. Mekidushin, which sounds like Mekadesh Yisrael Basman and Mekadesh Shabbos. If it's Mamish Kiddush, then just make it sound like Kiddush. But you can't because there's too many uncertainties and confusing issues. You got to talk about Arisus, Asuras, right? So there's a whole big noisy bracha. Incredible Ramban. Like, I mean, you can't read this Ramban. They're just saying, wow. Just the way he knew Shas and it all comes together. You just see the brilliance of it. But, like, I don't know. Even money, that's what Ravada or whatever, Rav Acha Barei de Rava was saying. I mean, it's a mamish shot. And from here, just to show you how halacha turns into minhag, I don't mean minhag, you know, what happens in Tina. I mean, minhag, you know, what happened in Spain is there's a big debate. Should you make a Berachas Eretz in ala kos? We'll see by Berachas Hosanim whether you need ala kos, but kos is missing from this whole Gemara. We don't see any kosos. So Berachas Hosanim is one thing to have a kos. Because it's a mitzvah of simcha, it's in simcha al yayin. Berachas Eretz is not a brach of simcha, it's whatever it is. So the Ritva says, if you have a Ritva, let's just see the Ritva for a second. And we're going to keep the Ritva open, by the way, so we'll see two things in the Ritva now. Okay. The Ritva says, like his Rebbe's Rebbe, the Ramban, Ritva is the time of the Rosh, the time of the Ramban. So I'm reading now from Daf. I'm on Memtes in the yellow Ritvas. If you have a kovetz, then it's Dibra Maschil Mandelo Chasim. Yeah, let's say about half the way through. El Al Karchach. Anyone help the kovetz people? El Al Karchach, where is it? Let me have it, I'll find it. El Al Karchach. Thanks. Halfway down what? Okay, where's the El Al Karcha, right. Reshayin Vav, top right paragraph, 3-6, 10 lines down, middle of the word, middle of the line. He goes through all the questions the Rosh raises. El Al Karcha, Brachazu, huh. What does the Ritva add the Ramban doesn't add? Gain Kiddush. He uses the word Kiddush.
He makes it explicit.
I mean, you don't need him, but Gain Kiddush. Amasha Kiddushna Kiddush Baruch Hu Yosef Mishar Umos Beinyan Perit Verivya Ulefikach Anu Misadrin Alav Shetzivano Alaraya Shein Kiddushin Tovzim Bohen Filu Harusel Shein Kiddushin Tovzim Asalana Shetikanetz Lachopa Right? Some sugyos and shas are harder to connect to your cultural and personal development. Obviously, Torah doesn't need to be relevant. Torah is eternal. Will outlast this world. But this is a sugya that's pretty easy to think about. Family values, two parent families, sexual discipline. You know, society erodes when you don't have family structures. And you don't have to just look at Jews. Just look at other cultures which place a premium on families, such as Asian families, and see how strong and robust their societies are. And you look at societies which, unfortunately, there's a breakdown. And think about the sexual revolution, what it created, what it didn't create. And these are the things that are part of our society and part of Emirat Hashem. When you get married, how you approach your marriage. And with Nei, the Ritva says, skipping over line into Shabracha hi kein kedusha, kiparash tilil, lefikach, here's the chiddush, Nahagu, Yisrael, laomran alakos. Nahagu. The minhag developed to say Bruchas Erisin alakos. So the next time someone stops you on the street and asks you, why is Bruchas Erisin alakos? Good question. You don't make a lenech tefillin alakos, bring a cup of wine every day to show tefillin. Because this is Kiddush. And Kiddush is alakos. How do we know Kiddush is alakos, by the way? What does Gemara say? No. Zachar is Yom HaShabbos Lekacho, Zachreu Aliyayin. It's the Gemara. Since Kiddush is alakos, so this bracha is to be alakos also. Now, while we have the Ritva open, Ritva says, by the way, even though this bracha isn't a bracha mitzvah, the Ramban disqualified the concept of a bracha mitzvah here because it doesn't stack up, right? We're too early in the process. But the Ritva quotes a minhag. You want to see who he quotes a minhag from? Well, where does it start from, actually, in the Ritva? Where does it start from? It's not from the Yishalmi. Okay, there's Yishalmi. We have the Ritva open. Look a couple lines after the line I just read. Okay, yeah. Where is it here? And of course, why is not Berachas HaMitzvah? Well, Yishalmi Mashma, where is that Zach? It's the second paragraph on the right, Reishayin Vav. Uvishalmi mashma, Shalmi and Brachas, Shitzarach Levarach Alakidushin, Kibachas and Mrs. Kodama Kidushin. They're reading Hassan Paraka Ro, it's Yishalmi and Brachas. Kola Mrs. Kulan, Mevarachale, Mishas Asiasan. Chutzmenatkia. Interesting, Yishalmi, why you don't make a bracha over Lasiasan Natkia? We don't Paschal, it's Yishalmi. The Yeshamrim, some say, other exceptions you don't make a bracha mitzvah. Af Chutzmi Kidushin Bebeila. Why won't you make a bracha by Kiddush Bia? Why won't you make a bracha? What? Okay. Erva. Pasha is Erva. Pshas mitzvah, you're welcome Erva. Okay? Which, by the way, just halacha lemaisa, right? I've told you before. When my wife's home, she doesn't cover her hair. I don't believe it's Zahar today. It's an Erva, but my wife covers her hair when the people are in the house, or she leaves the house, because I believe it's Das Moshe or Das Yehudis. Okay? But when I'm standing, let's say, you know, and other parts of my wife are exposed, I don't make a bracha, because you should make a bracha makom erva. Now, that applies to you, who, as far as I know, aren't married, but as far as I also know, are on buses or traveling. If you are sitting in front of an erva, and you want to make a bracha, you should get up, slap her in the... No, you should turn to the side and make a bracha. Not in a way that's insulting, not in a way that's demeaning, not in a way... I'll show you, you sub here, just quietly, out of respect to people, or a way to make a bracha. But you shouldn't be making a bracha saying Kriya Shema b'makom erva. Generally, again, because, again, is this part of a woman's body considered if erva today was walking around like that? I would make a bracha, you know, here. I would not make a bracha here. You know, if, let's say, she's wearing a tank top. I would not make a bracha if there's a part of her chest exposed. I would make a bracha, let's say, over the knees are exposed. I'd try to turn the other way. Again, some people say no, the elbows. I'm not going to get into the details of what is or isn't an erva, but there are parts that we'd all agree are ervas, right? There are parts we'd all agree. So if you're in that situation, in a way that's kind, that's appropriate, just turn around and make a bracha, rather than making a bracha or say, Kriya Shema B'makom Erva. Yes, did you?
Yeah,
B'makum if you can, but you should probably not be, you know, facing it. But certainly if you're Timis Enayim, if you can't turn around. Anyway, that's why you don't make a bracha. But anyway, as far as we're concerned, Yishami says, don't make a brachas ha-mitzvah when you have kiddush abiyah. What does it sound like? Alma, kiddush and kesef v'shtar, we know that problem. Hayim v'rachim, brachas ha-mitzvah, couldn't make kiddush. Ulefi ma'asha pasha ta'minek b'Yisrael, ner shekiblu, se'en jashitas ha-talmud shalano. The Ritva says, I don't know of anyone that makes this phantom brachas ha-mitzvah on kiddush. Yet, uve tosvos, kasvu b'shem Rabbeinu Yechiel mi'pari. So now we know who this is. Ben Yechiel Mipar is 13th century, moves to Eretz Yisrael, takes part in the disputation in France, 13th century. So now we know where Ben Yechiel Mipar is. Shem Ben Yechiel Mipar is Shahia Minag Levarech Api Yishalmi. Wow. What would I give now for a time machine? Go back to France, 13th century, land in on a wedding, and the Masada Kedushin is saying, well, now make the brachos. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Barei Pri Hagafen. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Mashiach Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzivanu Lekadesh Seisha. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Mashiach Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzivanu. They actually had a third bracha.
Could it be that this considered standard bracha as?
No. They made the bracha. We don't know what the nusach was. Amazing. They made basically Shami Ben Achiel of Paris made. There's a mitzvah. This bracha in Ksuvah is not a bracha of mitzvah. It's maybe like the Ramban, like the Rosh, the Shevach, Kedusha. But why not? Now, how would the Rabbeinu Yechiel answer all these technical problems in the Ramban? How do you make a bracha of mitzvah? Whatever. There's plenty of ways to answer those questions. But there's actually a bracha of mitzvah in Kedusha. Wow, talk about lost mitzvahs, lost brachas. That'd be cool, huh? Don't try it at home. So the Kedusha gets up there and makes the extra bracha, the whole place would shout him down. What are you doing? It's Yishami and Brachas. It's only Yishami. Holy Bechiel Paris. The whole ruckus breaks out under the chuppah. Lamdus the chuppah. The wife's there, can you just get married? Lamdus. It's amazing, amazing. Why not? Okay. The third sheet, though, which we'll be very brief about as we get late, is the third Gavi sheet is not that, oh, there's no mitzvah rush. There is a mitzvah, but you just can't make a brachas mitzvah, Ramban mitzvah. What's the third shita?
Can't do over lasiyasa.
Oh, can't just do over lasiyasa. It's a brachas mitzvah. This probably sounds like it's technical. It may be more fundamental issues. Who holds the shita?
Right.
The Raven is a cyclist of the Rambam. Let's just read it together since we're opening the Rambam today. Ishus, Perek Dalet. Perak Gimel, Halacha Chaf Gimel, Rambam's Halacha, Kasef Harayvitzal, Ein Anu Nogim Kein Ela Mekadesh, V'Achar Kach Mivarech. Right. So this is Shitas Harayvit. We're not knowing like this. We make the Berachas Erison beforehand. V'Achar Kach Mivarech V'Atam V'Nei Shadavar Talui V'Das Acherim Shim Temani Isha Lo Tirtzer Berach LeBatala. Harayvit says the reason we delay the bracha is she may say no. And whenever there's a chance that the other party who has to facilitate the mitzvah may say no, we have to wait to see if they say yes. They say no, because as we started the shiur today, bracha levatala is a very, one second, let me finish my, bracha levatala is a very, very serious crime. So remember that the next time someone says, oh, you keep a day and a half, I say, no, I'm being makbir on bracha shem shemayim levatala. I'm being machmir because I hold like the Ravid, and I don't want to be over. And bracha levatala is so severe that we're even willing to change the timing of our brachas mitzvah and make it afterwards because we don't, chas v'shalom, want to take a chance that she'll have a change of heart. And you'll say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam, Mashiach kiddushanu, Mashiach kiddushanu. And she says, you know what, that's too much kavana for me. I don't want to have these long benchings. I'll find some other husband that makes quicker brachos. They have a bracha levatala. This is based, not based on, but parallel to a very famous Rashba. What does the Rashba ask? Anyone on the tshuva? Why don't we make a bracha on gemilas chasadim? Can you imagine? We make a bracha every minute. We'd also probably be more makbid on gemilas chasadim because we know we're doing mitzvahs every minute. Being nice, being kind, smiling, whatever. So one answer to that question is because we don't want morality to be based only on commandment. We say, like, I'm a terrible person. I hate Sam Corman. But Hashem commanded me, so it would suggest that the only reason I'm doing it is because of a mitzvah. The Rashba has a more lamdish halachic answer. Why do we make a bracha on chesed, like tzedakah and chesed afterwards? Because, let me say, I don't want your money. Here's some money. I say, you know what, put me to a higher tax bracket. Keep your money. So you make a whole big bracha, asher kiddushan, mitzvah, mitzvah, lehov asareya. And they'll say, no, there'll be other bracha batal. That's the Rashba's famous answer, why you don't make brachas on Bein Adam Lechavera, because he may reject it. So this is the Raivid's way of saying that we wait until she says yes, because we're so makbir on. Again, we don't pass like the Raivid. Again, we assume in most cases she's not going to say no. But the Raivid was so concerned with the bracha, levatol, Hashem Shemem levatol. Again, just think about this Raivid when you think about it. Again, we think it's more for him to make more brachas. We don't make, oh, you always get this question, should I make this bracha, should I make that bracha, this bracha? Our minag is, we're memayid b'brachas. We're not making brachas, shein etzrichas. Again, when I say our minag, Hasidus created a whole different model and paradigm. There's extra tefillos, everything is a tefillah, everything is... our minag is Yerush Hashem. We don't want to say Hashem's name, Chas Hashem, without any purpose. So we're very, very makbid about that. Again, if you come from Hasidus stock, maybe a little different. Since I quoted to you the Rush and the Rami Rottenberg, let's take a look at the Maharami Rottenberg's Rebbe, the Or Zarua, who says something about Birchas Erison that may make Birchas Erison in his mind similar to that Rav's fifth category. Now, there are five categories of brachos: Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas HaShevach, Birchas HaNenen, Birchas HaKadosh Shel Yisrael, and a brachon HaChalos, Chalos Yisrael, Chalos Heter, either one. Okay? So the Or Zeruah says, okay, Hachi Garcina, I forget who he's quoting, maybe the Bahag, Manda Boy, line number three. La minsav itisa mi boile the kedusha bereisha ulevarich birchas erison. Okay, that was the question. Maybe the shul tells it sounds like. So the answer is lo nevarich bereisha. We're going to wait till the end, like the Raivid, or like the again the Rush says no, but like the Raivid. Time am I, michti. Let's think for a moment. Line number three from the bottom. Akati lo kanyale. You weren't kona her yet. What does that sound like? You weren't kona her yet, so you can't. What do you mean? Of course, you make the bracha before. You make it before. Right, one sec. Of course, you make the bracha before you do it. What do I care that the chalos hasn't happened yet? It's a bracha samitzvah. You make it beforehand. Sounds like the bracha is on the status that you're creating, and you need to create the status in order to respond with the bracha. Akati lo kanyale, heichim mivarchina. Ella, what should you do? Let's wait a second, Aaron. See what he says. Ella, lekadesh bereisha. First, we lekadesh the woman, according to the Or Zeruah. V'hadam mevarach shever brachas. All the brachas are filling erusin. And you know what kiddushin is like, Aaron? Tfila sager. Mide tahavya tfila. Tam memai tabel v'hadam mevarach shever gavad lo chazi. Achinami ad mekadesh lo kanyev lo shenami tfila. Wow. This is super lovely. Not many people know this Or Zeruah. You want to impress your uncle on Shabbos when you see him in Sukkot. Go to the Or Zeruah. Krishma Sin and Chavei. By the way, it changes, Freddie, and it changes our definition of why tefillah we delay. The simple reading of the Gemara Pesach and why we make a bracha after tefillah sager is because, what's the simple reading? He can't make the bracha because he's a goy. So it's a technical problem. He can't say the bracha. But because the Or Zeruah compares post tefillah bracha to post kiddushin bracha, and they're both Jews before Kiddushin, so it's not because, oh, they can't make a bracha because they're not yet Jewish. It's because the bracha is targeting the chalos. And just like by tefillah, the chalos hasn't happened until after he dunks. You have to wait for the chalos. Same by Kiddushin, the chalos hasn't happened until the kiddush. So this is a super lovely Or Zeruah, and we're training ourselves when we show to make seemingly unrelated associations. It's because they're finding what I call lumbus glue. Okay? One day, I don't know, maybe... Ron, I say this in all the best ways. Syrians are known for their business acumen, right? I know. So they're great business, and maybe you'll start a glue company. You'll call it Lumbus Glue. All the Ashkenazim will buy it. So they make a lot of money. You'll sell to Ashkenazim. They call it Lumbus Glue. It'll be a Lumbus. Okay? Lumbus is all glue. You're gluing together, right? Hashem gave the Torah to us. They put the Kabbalistic terms for you. You know what Hashem's Torah was? That's it. One word. You didn't say a word. It was one thing. Because Hashem is Echad, and Shmo Echad, and Torah is Echad. It's all this theory of everything. You don't have to say anything. Now, when it came to human beings, it splintered and broke and shattered. And so we have this. All these splinters and shatters and shards. And how can I recreate Hashem's Ratzon? So I need Lamdaslu to recreate Hashem's Ratzon. Otherwise, it's just human Torah, not Torah Hashem. I can know this. In order to maybe, what is Erisin? What is Kedusha? What is, you know, this is small little gluing little pieces. If I glued the whole picture together, I'd have the one. I'd never get there, but don't worry, we have enough time to try. Right? Especially if Torah is eternal, so have plenty of time. Plenty of time, plenty of glue, plenty of pieces. So imagine Olam Haba, one big jigsaw puzzle table, and one sitting around putting pieces together, making one big picture. Okay, we're going to stop here. Here are your makaros for whatever. Okay, a little bit of a warning. I gave you a lot of makaros. I'm not sure how much we'll get to, but there's a lot of pages here. Obviously, more than 2 hours. Before you get up, we're going to focus on just this little piece right here tomorrow, Panim Chadashos, because that's the easy part. But I wanted to give you all of them because I don't know what's going to happen Sunday, and if you breeze through the makaros, I want you to have stuff to learn. So we're just going to focus on a small little piece right here tomorrow, because that's the hyper-lundish part. But here's other parts of Zerfus Chassanim. We have a lot printed here, so you all can take two if you want.
I mean, we didn't finish them yesterday.
Yeah, move on.
I have two questions.